Chapter 6, Perpetual Motion. "Wait, wait," Beelzebub interrupted. "What you have just been describing must surely be that ephemeral idea that the strange three-brained beings breeding on the planet Earth called perpetual motion, for the sake of which, at one time, great numbers of them went quite mad, or even perished. It once happened on that ill-fated planet that somebody got the crazy notion into his head that he could invent a mechanism that would run forever without requiring any material from the outside. This notion so took everybody's fancy that most of the crackpots of that peculiar planet began thinking about it and trying to produce this miracle. How many of them had to pay for this ephemeral idea with all the material and spiritual welfare that they had previously acquired at great cost? For one reason or another, they were all quite determined to invent what they imagined would be a simple matter. Whenever external conditions permitted, many of them gave themselves up to the search for this perpetual motion without any inner data for such work, some relying upon their knowledge, others upon luck, but most of them driven by an already full-blown psychopathy. In short, to invent perpetual motion became the rage there, and every crank felt obliged to be interested in this question. I was once in a town where a large number of models and all kinds of descriptions of proposed mechanisms for this perpetual motion had been collected. What could not be found there? What ingenious and complicated machines did I not see? In any single one of these mechanisms, there were more ideas and wiseacrings than in all the laws of world creation and world existence. I noticed at the time that in these innumerable models and plans of proposed mechanisms, the idea of using what is called the force of weight predominated. The idea was this: a complicated mechanism was designed to lift a certain weight, which was then supposed to fall, and by its fall to set the whole mechanism in motion. And this motion would again lift the weight, and so on without end. The result of all this was that thousands of these unfortunates were shut up in lunatic asylums, while thousands more, lost in this dream, completely neglected to fulfill even those being duties that had somehow been established there in the course of many centuries, or else fulfilled them in the worst possible way. I don't know how it would all have ended if some quite demented being, with one foot already in the grave, an old dotard, as they say, who had somehow acquired a certain authority, had not proved by calculations known only to himself that it was absolutely impossible to invent perpetual motion. Now, my dear Captain, after your explanation, I can understand very well how the cylinder invented by the Archangel Harrison works. It is the very thing those unfortunates dreamed of. Indeed, it can safely be said that given atmosphere alone, this cylinder will work perpetually and without requiring any other outside materials. And since the world cannot exist without planets, and hence without atmospheres, it follows that as long as the world does exist, and in consequence atmospheres, the cylinder barrel invented by the great Archangel Haraton will always work. Now, just one question occurs to me about the materials this cylinder barrel is made of. Could you tell me, my dear Captain, what these materials are and how long they can last?" To Beelzebub's question, the captain replied as follows: "Although the cylinder barrel does not last forever, it can certainly last a very long time. Its principal part is made of amber, with platinum hoops, and the inner surfaces of the staves are composed of anthracite, copper, ivory, and a very strong mastic, unaffected by Paishakir, Tainoler, Saliakuriap, or even by the radiations of cosmic concentrations. Paishakir means heat. Tainoler means cold. Saliakuriap means water. But the other parts, the captain continued, both the exterior levers and the cogwheels, must certainly be renewed from time to time. For though they are made of the strongest metal, long use will wear them out. And as for the body of the ship, its long existence can certainly not be guaranteed. The captain would have said more, but at that moment, a sound like the vibrations of a long minor chord from a far-off orchestra of wind instruments resounded through the ship. With an apology, the captain rose, explaining as he did so that he must be needed on urgent business, since everybody knew he was with his Right Reverence, and no one would venture to trouble the ears of his Right Reverence for anything trifling.